Hebrews chapter 12, go to verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Our Father, I pray that you'd guide and direct us this morning as we look into your word. I pray that we would hear from you. More importantly, I pray that we would listen to you. Help us, Lord, to do exactly what you want us to do, that you might receive glory in Christ's name. Amen. The writer of the book of Hebrews exhorts us here in this verse to follow peace with all men. Don't look to fight, argue, or provoke. Now, don't get me wrong. You must stand for what is right. But there is a huge difference in being right and having to be right. And we got to make sure we understand that difference. He then says, follow holiness. Easy enough to understand. Follow holiness. But he says, follow holiness, pursue, and that's what that word means, holiness. And he adds, without which no man will see the Lord. Well, what does he mean by that? What is he talking about when he says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord? Well, we know he's not talking about working for or earning salvation. The scripture is clear. No one can do that. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it is clear you cannot work for your salvation. So he's not talking about pursue holiness because that's what's going to get you to heaven. That's what he's talking about. Nor is he saying the opposite. It's the holiness that I give you that he's talking about. He's not saying that. It's the righteousness or the holiness you received when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and because you have that, you're getting into heaven. That's not what he's talking about either, because he says, pursue it. Follow it. So what does he mean when he says, pursue holiness, because without holiness, no man will see the Lord? He is saying that as you follow holiness, that as you pursue holiness, people around you will see the Lord. Because without it, no one, no man will see the Lord. Without it, no one won't see Jesus Christ in you. He doesn't say, no man won't see, you won't see the Lord if you don't pursue holiness. He says, no man will see it. He's talking about those around us. So if we want them to see Jesus Christ in us, if we want them to see the Lord, we must pursue holiness. Amen. In order to be like him, we must live a holy life because he lived a perfectly holy life. Amen. In order for a world to see him that desperately needs to see him, we need to pursue holiness. So today, God said what? Pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. So what is holiness, you ask? And I so appreciate it when you ask the right question at the right time. That helps me out a great deal. So what is holiness, you ask? Well, let me give you a very practical definition of holiness. Holiness is, and pursuing holiness is, living in complete obedience to the Word of God. Living in complete obedience to the Word of God. If you will live in complete obedience to the Word of God, strive to live in complete obedience, you will be pursuing holiness. You will be following holiness and doing exactly what God told you to do. And when you do that, people will see you're different. Now, we tend to think of holiness in terms of, you know, monks and monasteries and wool-haired jackets and shirts and hurting yourself and not eating, you know, that nonsense stuff. It is simply living in complete obedience to the Word of God. Let me show you. Go in your Bible to Titus. chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Paul tells Titus here to address everyone in your congregation. The old men, the young men, the old women, the young women, the servants, tell them all that they need to go ahead and be obedient to the Word of God in all things. Give them sound doctrine. Tell them how they are to live their lives in the church and how they are to live their lives outside of the church. Now this morning, I want to focus on the whys of what he says here. This is why you're supposed to do it. And the why is that you pursue holiness. But please, don't overlook the what's in this. We'll cover them at some other point, but today we want to know the whys. Now the what's are for you, because you're addressed here. Chances are, you're an old man, a young man, a young woman, or a mature woman. We got it all covered. That's us. Amen? So don't overlook the what's there in there. But he says, pursue them. But God said, pursue holiness. Why? Without which no man will see the Lord. Number one. Why? To honor the Word of God. To honor the Word of God. You pursue holiness to honor the Word of God. Look at verse number 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you get that? You do all these things, you pursue all these what's, so that the word of God is not blasphemed. We are to pursue holiness because people don't judge us by our beliefs. They judge us by our behavior. When you believe in the Word of God, and what you believe in the Word of God does not match your everyday behavior, the Word of God is blasphemed. The Word of God is mocked. The Word of God is ridiculed. It is laughed at. It is dishonored. Why do you think there are so many phrases that say a similar thing? You need to practice what you preach. You are the only Bible someone's ever going to read. Someone's going to look at your life and judge whether or not the Bible is true by the way you live. And he says, follow holiness, pursue holiness, so that the Word of God is not blasphemed by the way that you live. A couple of months ago, we went through the book of James. That's what the entire book of James is all about. If you say you believe certain things about the Bible, you got to be living differently. You're going to be acting differently. Your belief should match up with your behavior. When you don't live right, when you don't pursue holiness, when you aren't doing the what's mentioned here, you give the world, you give unbelievers an open door to question the Word of God. You allow them to say, well, the Bible can't be all that correct. Look how you live. The Bible can't be right. Look what they did. The Bible can't be right because of look what this one did or look what that one did. And we give them opportunity to blaspheme the Word of God. And God said, pursue holiness. No man will see the Lord without it. Don't give them opportunity to blaspheme the Word of God. You honor the Word of God by the way that you live. Amen. It's sad, but the credibility of God's Word is inseparably linked to the lives of those who proclaim it. That's why God is so often telling us to live right and do right and act right and speak right and think right and be right. Because he says, pursue holiness. Because without it, no man will see the Lord. We honor God's Word. The truth of Scripture from the world's perspective is determined by how it affects us. How it affects us. Does the Word of God actually make a difference in the way you live? Does the Word of God actually make a difference in the way you work? Does the Word of God actually make a difference in the way you speak? Does the Word of God actually make a difference in the way you relate to people in the neighborhood? Does the Word of God make a difference in your life? It should. He said, when it doesn't, you're opening the door for people to blaspheme the Word of God. So pursue holiness. Without it, no man will see the Lord. Do it so that you can honor the Word of God. If we are living lives that are transformed, separate, distinct, the world might actually conclude that the Word of God is powerful, true, and life-changing. Now, the good news, it is. Amen? But we need to bear testimony to that every single day. Amen. God said what? Pursue holiness. Number two, we do it to silence the opposition to God. We pursue holiness. We live lives that are right to silence the opposition to God. Look at verse number 6 of Titus chapter number 2. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We pursue holiness. We pursue doing what is right, living out the what's that are mentioned here, so that the world can have nothing bad to say about us. The word ashamed means literally to blush. It is emphasizing their embarrassment for criticizing you when there is no just criticism. They just want to criticize. They just want to say something. They just want to go ahead and say what they want to say and get it over with. But because it's not true, it's not right, and your life proves it's not true and it's not right, they're embarrassed that they've said it. And they don't say it again. They shut up because you are doing what is right. The word blameless carries this idea. Irreproachable. The idea of no accusation can stick. It doesn't mean that accusations won't be thrown your way or accusations won't be spoken, accusations won't be said. They will be. You live right, you try to do right, people will get mad and they will say things to you, say things about you, throw things at you. But because you're blameless, you're pursuing holiness, you're doing what is right, they can't stick. And they're silenced because you're doing the right thing. You're in Titus, go back to chapter number 1, verse number 7. Chapter number 1, verse number 7. In the list of qualifications for a pastor, the first thing he lists is that word blameless. For a bishop must be blameless. No accusation can stick. It's not there. He's pursuing holiness, doing the right thing. Go back in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Again, blameless. Qualifications of a pastor. Chapter 3, verse number 2. A bishop then must be blameless, irreproachable. Nothing can stick. Look at verse number 10. Talking about deacons, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Again, irreproachable. Nothing can stick. Nothing can be stuck to them when they say those things. Well, you say, well, only pastors and deacons are to be blameless? No. If the congregation's not blameless, you'll never get pastors and deacons from which they are called out of. Everybody's got to be blameless. It's from a church of irreproachable people, from a church of blameless people, that God can call pastors, that God can call deacons, that God can do those kinds of things. We must all be blameless in all of those things. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, your lifestyle, your manner of living honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He's saying here, live right, do right, pursue holiness in front of them that they have nothing bad to say about you. They'll still say it, but it can't stick. Everyone knows it. And they're put to silence. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed because they tried to go ahead and do that. Live in such a way. Amen. Look at that interesting phrase here in verse number 12, the last of it, the last phrase, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The day of visitation is the day when the Holy Spirit comes to them, begins to convict them of their sin, and draw them to Christ. And because they've seen the way you've lived, they've seen the way you've acted, they've seen the way you've talked, they see how you conduct yourself, they see you pursuing holiness, and they see Jesus Christ in you, when the Holy Spirit comes to them, they'll say, there's something to that. And they'll glorify God. How are they glorify God? They get saved. We live a life that is wretched. We live a life that is unholy, unclean. We live a life unbecoming of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit convicts them, what do they say? Look at him. Look at her. Why bother? That's garbage. But if we're pursuing holiness and doing what is right, they'll have to be quiet when they throw out accusations. And when the Holy Spirit comes to them and begins to convict them of their sin, to draw them to Christ, they'll know, yeah, God can change lives. He did it for you. He did it for that person. We need to pursue holiness. Amen. God said what? Pursue holiness. Number three, to adorn the grace of God. We want to honor the Word of God. We want to silence the opposition to God. And we want to adorn the grace of God. Look at verse number 9 of Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The word adorn is a Greek word from which we get our word cosmetics. Cosmetics. Now, what do cosmetics do? What do cosmetics do? They make something look better. They enhance. They aid in displaying the natural beauty of someone or something. That's what cosmetics do. Our lives are supposed to adorn the gospel. Our lives are supposed to adorn the gospel. The gospel is either made more attractive or less attractive by the way we live. Do you get that? That's what he's saying. Do right. Pursue holiness. Because you're making the gospel look better when you do. You're making the gospel better. Now, does our living good lives, right lives, pursuing holiness, add to or take away from the power of the gospel? No, it does not. But from the world's perspective, it does. It does. Let me give you two illustrations. Celebrity endorsements. They're big money. Basketball players, football players, they make endorsement money. They advertise everything. LeBron James had $100 million sneaker contract coming out of high school. He was making more money from Nike than he was from the Cavs. Wow. Now, if I go out and buy his shoes, I can be just as good as him. What do you think? Not a chance. Okay, but why are they paying him $100 million to advertise their shoes? Because somebody thinks so. More than $100 million worth think so. And that's all across the sports industry. Endorsements are important. You are an endorsement for the Word of God. You're an endorsement for the grace of God. And if you are pursuing holiness and doing right and living what is right, you are adorning the doctrine of God, the grace of God. For the last 10 years, I have been endorsing a product on hair growth. And I swear by this product. It grows hair. It hurts me that you laughed like that. Now, would you run right out and buy it? There's a couple of guys in here who need it, like me. Would you run right out here and buy it? No, it didn't work, Pastor. Are you kidding me? Why buy that product? It didn't work. This past week, we were in a store, and I was with Brandon and my wife, and we were in a store, and someone walks up to Brandon and says, if you don't ever want to look like your dad, don't use soap in your hair. He said, I don't use soap. I just run hot water over my hair, and I've got a full head of hair. And then he walked out, greasy hair following him. My first thought was, why would Brandon want to not look like his dad? I can't figure that one out. Crazy. We laugh. Yet when we're living lives the opposite of what the Bible says, or we're not pursuing holiness, we're not doing what is right, and we say, you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to get your sins forgiven. You need to do that. They look at us and say, you're nuts. You're crazy. I know you. I've seen the way you live. I see the way you treat your wife. I see the way you treat your kids. I know what you do. I know how you are at work. I know what you do in this place and that place. No way. I'm not trusting Christ as my Savior. It hasn't done anything for you. Wow. That is exactly what Paul is talking about here in Titus. Do right. Pursue holiness to honor the Word of God. Pursue holiness that those who are opposed to God might be silenced. Pursue holiness because in doing so, you're adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't make it any more powerful. You don't make it any more life-changing. It already is all on its own. Amen. But you can be living proof that it is and does. Or you can be a horrible testimony and send people to hell. Our living in holiness, and that is simple obedience, complete obedience to God's word, doesn't make the grace of God any more powerful. It simply shows how powerful it really is. Amen. Pursue holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. And that's in church and especially out of church. Our Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share in your word. Lord, we know we're supposed to do some things. It doesn't escape us. We just don't sometimes. Lord, help us to understand how important it is to pursue holiness every moment of every day. There are others who are watching. Family members, a husband, a wife, children. So important that they see our example, that Jesus Christ changes lives, that the Word of God is effectual and works and changes us. Help us, Lord, to adorn that fact before our families. Our co-workers need to see Jesus Christ. They need to see the Lord. But without holiness, they can't. So I pray that we would be pursuing holiness in front of them all of the time. Our neighbors, our friends, our extended families and loved ones, Lord, they need to see Jesus Christ in us. And the way that takes place is for us to pursue holiness. Lord, I pray that we would, so that they could. Work in all of our lives, work in all of our hearts and minds right now. Speak to us. Show us again the importance of pursuing holiness individually. And I pray that we would commit to doing that today for your honor and glory. Bless in every decision right now in Christ's name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. What's your life like? When the world sees you, what do they see? Oh, there's a Christian. Or, he's a Christian? She goes to church? You're kidding me, right? What's your testimony? What's your cosmetic value to the Word of God? To the grace of God? Can you silence those who are opposed to God by the way that you live? First of all, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Pastor, I am saved. I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved, you know it. Put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. That's great. You can put your hands down. Amen. Amen. Christian, you've received the grace of God. Now you've got to exhibit it. Now you've got to work out that salvation. Pursue holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. You say, Pastor, God spoke to me. I need to make sure that I'm living a life that pleases my Savior and shows unbelievers the Lord. Pastor, God has spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Just put your hand up. Put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Maybe you're here, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for yourself. You need to do that. Maybe you've met Christians who aren't so hot at being a Christian. Don't let them pull you away from Christ. Don't let them pull you away from heaven. Don't let them pull you away from the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is everything. Christians are not perfect. We do stupid things. Be drawn to Christ. Be drawn to Him today. He loves you. He died for you. He paid your sin penalty in full and wants to save you. And today, if you will repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in Christ, you can be saved. And then you can adorn that grace that you've received from God. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure about my soul's salvation. Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know my sins have been forgiven. I don't know Jesus Christ. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. Our Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, that in salvation we are changed and pursuing holiness is now possible. I pray that we would do it more effectively. You've given us the power to do it in the Holy Spirit who indwells us. You've given us the Word of God to obey, the church to encourage. I pray that we would do it, that we might allow others to see the Lord in and through us. Lord, work on us right now as we make these decisions. I pray that if there is anyone in here who has never trusted you as Savior, that you'd show them this is their greatest need. You've met that need, but they need to come to you. Bless right now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 390. 390. God has spoken to your heart. What does He want you to do? What decision does He want you to make? Do it right now as we sing. If you need to speak to me, if you need to know how to be saved, I'll be waiting for you right down front. First verse, right now, you come.